It's my privilege to be asked by the friends in the Interleaving Gospel Hall just to say a few words to you today on this recording from the Bible, God's Word. And I'm going to read it just in a moment or two. My name's Leonard Curry. I've lived in Fife all my life. So don't stay too far from most of you who are listening to this just now. But I do pray that God's Word today will be a blessing to you in whatever circumstances you find yourself in, either unusual days, either difficult circumstances for many people. And we do trust that the Word of God, God's precious Word, will be a comfort to you and a challenge to you as well as we read it and say a few things on it just in a moment or two. But let's first of all just read three verses from God's Word from the Bible, and they're found in John's Gospel and chapter number 8. John's Gospel, chapter number 8. And the first is in verse number 32, and we read these words. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then two verses further on, again the Lord Jesus is speaking, and this is what he says. "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And then again further down, two verses, in verse number 36, we read these words. Once again the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says about himself, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." You do trust that God will bless this reading from his precious Word today. But I'd like to speak just for a few moments on the topical subject of freedom. Perhaps your view is that the Bible has nothing relevant to say about this, that the Bible has nothing important to say about it. We see on the television, we listen on the news, and we hear a lot about freedom. And I'm certainly not going to be making any comments of a political nature or any comments about protests or the like. I simply want to look at what the Bible has to say about this very pertinent, this very topical subject of freedom. Because we did read in John chapter 8, "If the Son, if the Lord Jesus sets you free, you shall be free indeed." So I suggest that the Bible has something for us to listen to carefully and to think about in relation to this subject of freedom. Maybe few of us have heard about a man called William Lloyd Garrison. He was born on the east coast of the United States in Massachusetts in 1805. He became one of the most powerful men in America. He wasn't a politician. He never became president of the United States of America. But in the 19th century, he was one of the most, if not the most, powerful men in his country. He was one of the most prominent American abolitionists and social reformers of his day. He campaigned tirelessly that slavery, that awful thing called slavery, would be abolished, and that it would be abolished immediately. He spent most of his life pursuing that aim and that objective. William Lloyd Garrison. He founded an anti-slavery publication, a newspaper. He did that in Boston. It was printed in Boston, and he entitled it The Liberator. And so from 1835 until 1865, when slavery was abolished in America, that publication went out, The Liberator. See, Lloyd Garrison, as he was known, he knew something of the horrors of physical slavery. And he rightly wanted it stopped, and stopped immediately. abolished completely. And he's a powerful man. And he's a passionate man about this subject. And as a consequence, he became a persecuted man as well. People didn't like him. They opposed him. An effigy of him was set up outside his house on gallows and he was burned. He was persecuted. He had to flee the country for about a year. But in the end, his tireless pursuit of this objective was successful. And as I say, slavery was abolished in 1865. Lloyd Garrison was also a man who read the Bible. He read it daily. He read it carefully. He read it often. He was a man who prayed. And I'm sure if he was reading through John's Gospel and he came to chapter 8 where we have read tonight about the problem of slavery, not physical slavery, that's not being referred to in John chapter 8, but perhaps an even greater problem of spiritual slavery. And that's what the Lord Jesus is addressing. And Lloyd Garrison would recognise that we need not only to be free from physical slavery, that scourge that has affected so many people so tragically on our planet, but we crucially and vitally also need to be free from spiritual slavery, and we'll explain what that means just in a moment or two. So what is freedom? What freedom is the Bible referring to in John chapter 8? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, of course, you have different perspectives from different people. If you were perhaps to speak to a work colleague and ask them what their thought of freedom was, well, they might say, freedom is no management oversight. Nobody coming to check up on me at all. No restrictive rules and regulations that impede me doing my job. No difficult codes of conduct that I need to be compliant with. And so they might go on. Things that they find are so irksome and difficult and problematic. And I'd just like to be free from all of that. And yet, I'm sure, on reflection, they might reluctantly agree that most of that is there for a good reason. So the work colleague might have one view of what freedom looks like. If you ask a teenager, I have one in the house here, if you were to ask a teenager what freedom was, they would give you a different answer. They might tell you that freedom in their eyes is no limits on my phone use, no limits on my social media usage, no parental constraints whatsoever, time curfews a thing of the past, no rules and regulations at school or college or university that we need to comply with, all so suffocating and unnecessary. That might be their view. Just let me do what I want to do. And to a teenager, that equates to freedom. But again, maybe on reflection, and maybe as the years go on, they realise that most of that framework is there for their own good. So being allowed to do what I want, when I want, where I want, how I want, with complete disregard for anybody else. Is that really freedom? Or perhaps that's just really anarchy. See, true freedom, I would suggest, is doing what we should do, not necessarily doing what we would like to do, and there's obviously a big difference between those two. Freedom is doing what we should do. That is really what the Bible would define and explain as freedom. And it will tell us what we should do. And if we do that, then the Bible says we'll enjoy wonderful freedom in our lives. You know, we can't do anything about our past history. Again, in these days, a lot has been said about that. We can't airbrush out elements that we don't particularly like. In our national history, or maybe in our social history, or maybe even in our religious history, we can't just airbrush it out. We can't do anything about our past history. Interestingly, you rarely hear people talking about their personal history. We can't do anything about that either. It's gone. My grandfather used to always say to me, always be careful when you're pointing the finger at others. Because when you're doing that, there's at least three or four fingers pointing back at yourself. And sometimes we do need to have a look at ourselves, our own personal history. We can't negate that either. You see, we can't influence our history, our past history. We can't influence that at all. It's gone. We can't ignore our past history, nor should we. We can't pretend that it didn't happen, whether that is nationally or perhaps in our context, more importantly, personally. We can't ignore what has happened in the past. We can't pretend it didn't happen. We can't improve our past history either. We can't rewrite it to make it more appealing, more favourable. We might want to do that, but that is impossible to do. So the past is gone. What can we do though? I suggest there's two things we can do. Although we can't do anything about our past history, we can do something, again thinking about John chapter 8, we can do something about our present slavery. At least that's a strong word. Well, that's the word the Bible is using about us just now. Not physical slavery for many of us, and we're very, very grateful for that, that we enjoy freedoms in our country. Although recent constraints because of COVID-19, but generally we enjoy so much freedom and we're very, very grateful for that. But the Lord Jesus is reminding us that in the spiritual realm, then there's a slavery that affects so many of us. And it's in the present. But the good news is that there's something we can do about it. And we'll think about that just in a moment or two. So we can do something about our present slavery. And we can also, as a result, do something about our future destiny. The Bible has a lot to say about our future. And although our life is relatively short, the Bible reminds us that it's just like the steam that comes out of a vapor. You'll read about that in James chapter 4. It's not there for very long. In fact, the question is posed, what is your life? It's even just like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. So life is passing so quickly. It's so fleeting. It's so transient. But the Bible makes it very clear that it doesn't end at the end of our life down here. There is an eternity. There is something after death. That expression is used in the Bible. And we need just to think about where we're going after death. And we'll touch on that just in a moment or two. So things we can do something about. Yes, we can't do anything about our past. Our past history is gone. But we can do something about our present slavery, spiritually. And we can do something about our eternal destiny. And again, we're thinking of the words of the Lord Jesus. Everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin. There's the slavery aspect. And yet, if the Lord Jesus, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Spiritual freedom. The Bible tells us that we can enjoy such freedom. And it says it's really essential that we do enjoy such freedom. And one of the reasons is that the Bible talks about the condemnation of sin. So freedom that we're thinking about in John chapter 8 is freedom from that condemnation of sin. Well, he said, I didn't realise that sin was such a big problem. I didn't realise that it really is equated to slavery. But you see, the Bible makes it very clear, it's a universal problem. It's a great leveler. Everybody's on exactly the same level. It's interesting that the word is used in John chapter 8, whoever, whosoever, everyone. It's a favourite word of John, we'll think about it just for a moment. But that really conveys to us that we're all in the same position. In fact, if we read in Romans chapter 3, we're reminded there of exactly that point. And that expression is used in Romans chapter 3. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of God's standard, come short of the glory of God. So there is no difference whatsoever. All exactly the same in this respect, that we're all sinful, that we all practice sin, that we all commit sin. That is the problem. What's a small word? And yet huge consequences. We'll think about that just in a moment or two as well. So here's a universal problem. And if we read further on in Paul's writings to Romans, so chapter 3 is telling us there's no difference. We've all fallen short of the standard that God has set. Some might be just a little bit, and some a huge distance, and yet it doesn't really matter. Sin is the great problem, and there's no difference. All have sinned. But then in Romans chapter 6, we read there about the consequences. There is condemnation because of that sin. It says here, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I mentioned the word whosoever, whoever, everyone, and how that John loves to use that word. Here he's using it in the context, a negative context really. He's saying we're all guilty. We're all committing sin. And that paints quite a black picture. And that's not a very positive message. And although we have to convey that to you in faithfulness to the Bible, the good news of the Bible, and it is a book that contains wonderful news, is that this great problem can be removed. And this great barrier and hurdle can be overcome by our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we read about in John chapter 3. Arguably the most well-known verse in the whole of our Bible. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's the word, that if anyone believes in him, they should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's condemnation if we're still in our sins. There's guilt hanging over us if we still have our sins unforgiven, we haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we can be freed from that. We can be liberated from that. So Romans chapter 3, we're learning that word whosoever means that there's no difference. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. John chapter 3, that well-known verse that perhaps many of you learned when you were at Sunday school. God so loved the world. But we're learning there that there's no doubt whatsoever. If you trust in the Lord Jesus, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, there's no doubt. Well, there's many things we're uncertain of, particularly in these recent days. Lots of uncertainty. And yet here's something that we can lay hold upon as certain, as sure, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we trust him as our Saviour, if we rely on him, then he will forgive us our sins. The condemnation will be removed. And we'll be believing in the Lord Jesus. And we'll be ready for heaven at the end of life. No difference. All sin. No doubt, if we trust the Lord Jesus, without a shadow of a doubt, we won't perish. And without a shadow of a doubt, we do have eternal, everlasting life. I became a Christian when I was 11 years of age. If you're not born Christians, the Bible makes that abundantly clear. We're never born Christians. We have to consciously decide to become a Christian. And I did that at the age of 11. And you know, like many of you, maybe like all of you, as you look back over your life, there's regrets that we have in life. And yet, you'll never ever find a Christian who regretted the moment they trusted the Lord Jesus and became a Christian. Never ever. Oh, we often disappoint other people. Even as Christians, you disappoint people. You're a disappointment to others. From time to time, we disappoint the Lord Jesus as well, the one that we've come to know and to trust and to love. And we disappoint him, undoubtedly. But you know one thing that never happens is that the Lord Jesus never ever disappoints us. We're never ever sorry or regret the moment, the day, the time when we trusted the Lord Jesus. And to say, well, why is that? Well, in John chapter 4, again that word appears, whosoever. And the Lord Jesus says, whosoever shall drink of the water, the provision that I shall give him, shall never thirst again. You know, there's things that perhaps we go in for. There's people that we encounter and friendships that we develop, and then we're disappointed. There's pursuits that we go after and they really disappoint us. And here, the Lord Jesus is saying, if you trust in me, if you believe in me, then the provision that I give you, eternal life, living water, he says, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never thirst again. So there's freedom from the condemnation of sin. That's what the Bible tells us. And there's freedom as well from the control of sin. You see, sin enslaves us. That's what John's telling us. Here in John chapter 8, that's what the Lord Jesus is referring to. And he says, if you commit sin, if you practice sin, and we've learned from Romans chapter 3 that we're all guilty, we're all sinners. And saying, as a consequence of that, then in our practicing of sin, in us doing things that are wrong in the sight of God, then effectively we're enslaved by sin. We're not able just to lead the life that we want to lead. We're not able to break free of the shackles. Wouldn't it be good just to have that freedom from that controlling influence of sin? A prolific hymn writer of the past, a man called Charles Wesley, and this is what he said in relation to the Lord Jesus. He says, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He was just thinking of that subject of freedom, really. And the fact is, it's the Lord Jesus alone that can give us this spiritual freedom, this emancipation from the condemnation of sin and from the control of sin on a daily basis and also from the consequences of sin, because you see, sin does have consequences. Read in Romans chapter 6, or we quoted Romans chapter 6, when it says there's wages associated with sin. Well, some people say, well, sin doesn't pay. Well, it does actually. Sin pays. It pays wages. And Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. And if we pursue that life and our sin isn't forgiven, then we're never ever going to be in heaven. That's the teaching clearly from the Bible. James chapter 1, we read these words, sin, but it's finished. It brings forth death. So freedom, something I'm sure we enjoy, personally, physically. And yet, I wonder if you're enjoying freedom spiritually. I wonder if the sin that we're all born with has been forgiven because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've been liberated. And you've been freed by the Lord Jesus. Because you've trusted him. You've believed in him. You've recognized that love that God had for the world, and demonstrated that love by sending his lovely son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. And in that verse that we've quoted, in John chapter 3, if you believe, whosoever believes, That universal problem has a universal solution. By believing, by trusting, by relying on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do that, you'll be freed from sin, from its condemnation, and from its control, and from its consequences. Many years ago, there was a British film produced, widely acclaimed, called Born Free. It accounts the story of a couple who decided to rear a lioness cub by the name of Elsa. They'd been asked to take it to a zoo in Holland. I think it was Rotterdam. And they decided that they wouldn't do that and they would rear this lioness cub. And they did so. And for many years, it was part of the family. And if you saw the film, or if you've read the book, or seen pictures, you'll see pictures of that couple with Elsa. But of course, the lioness grew up. It wasn't a cub for too long. And eventually, they were told to put it back into the wild. And it took a lot of effort and work and planning in order to do that. But eventually, successfully, Elsa went back into the wilderness of Kenya. A year later, they went back and they found her with her own cubs. And a film was made, and a book was written, and they were entitled Born Free. If you what we've been learning from John chapter 8 is that we're not born free, not spiritually. But we can be free, and that is the wonderful news of the Bible, and that is the good news of the gospel message, that through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we can have this freedom. Remember again that publication of Lloyd Garrison, that he entitled The Liberator. And yet, of course, the greatest liberator that this world has ever known is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can free us from that greatest problem, the problem of sin. You know, the solution to allow that freedom, it was very costly. The greatest price was paid by the Lord Jesus when he went to a cross and he died on a cross. And he suffered. And he demonstrated amazing love at the cross of Calvary so that we can enjoy spiritual freedom, so that our sins can be forgiven. What a price was paid. I wonder if we appreciate it. I wonder if we've responded to such amazing love demonstrated at Calvary's cross. The greatest problem, sin. And we're enslaved to it. And the greatest price was paid at Calvary by the Lord Jesus so that we can be freed from it. He died on the cross. You know, the greatest possibility today is that as you listen to this short message, that you can respond to it. This message that's contained in John chapter 8, communicated so beautifully by the lips of the Lord Jesus himself, that you can be freed by him, and by him alone. You can't be freed by anybody else. Well, if the Christians meeting in Inner Leaven Gospel Hall could save you, could make you a Christian, they would do it today. But they can't, and none of us can. But the Lord Jesus can. And that's why we're telling you about him today, that you can trust him and believe in him and accept him and receive him, and your life will be transformed. Your sin will be forgiven. That problem of slavery that's present will be gone forever. That spiritual bondage that you're in will be removed, and you will be emancipated and freed. And as to your future destiny, that will also be changed at the same time. When you say, what happens if I don't respond? Well, in fairness, I've got to tell you that the Bible says there's two destinies. There's heaven for those who believe in the Lord Jesus, who trust in him, who accept him, whose sins are forgiven, who are enjoying such freedom. And the Bible also tells us there's a place called hell and the lake of fire. And the Lord Jesus does not want anybody hearing this message to ever, ever be there. That's why he sent, that's why the Lord Jesus came, that's why God sent his son, his only son, to Calvary so that you can be saved, so that your destination can be heaven. It's not automatically heaven. You've got to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest possibility. If the Son sets you free, if the Lord Jesus sets you free, you shall be free indeed. We do trust that as you think about these words from the lips of the Lord Jesus, as you think about spiritual freedom, when this is such a topical subject, when you think of this great problem that affects us all, because that is what the Bible is telling us, but the Bible is showing us how this problem can be removed and overcome, and that the Lord Jesus has paid the price and done so in full at Calvary's cross. And now, the challenge for all of us is, are we going to respond? Are we going to believe that the Bible is relevant and that this message is essential and vital? And are we going to trust today in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We do trust that God will bless you, and we do trust that you will be freed from this great problem by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just pray for a minute. Our Father, we do thank you again for the message of the Bible. We thank you for a book that remains relevant in 2020. We thank you, Father, for a book that reminds us of great problems and yet points us to great solutions to these problems. And we've been thinking of that greatest of problems, the problem of sin. And yet, our Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus and for that amazing provision at such great cost to himself personally when he died on the cross. We do thank you for the fact that salvation is now offered freely to everyone. We thank you for the scope of the gospel. None are excluded. We thank you, God, that such a message, so crucial, so essential, can be received by faith. And we thank you, Father, for such a possibility that even today, in Fife and in Scotland and throughout the world, individuals can trust thy Son for salvation. We do pray that some may do so and enjoy this freedom and enjoy this liberty and enjoy, our Father, the prospect of at the end of this life, however short or long, that we're heading to a place called heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. We think of the bliss of it and the joy of it, and we do pray that preparation will be made by all by trusting in thy Son. So, Father, we do thank you then for this opportunity just to present the good news of the Bible concerning thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. And we just pray thy blessing upon all who will listen to this message. We commit it to you for thy blessing and do so in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ.